I looked at the part about his political vision for the future and didn't find much I hadn't already gleaned from the news magazines. It boiled down to giving the voters everything they wanted. Low taxes, you got it. Public services, have at it. It made no sense to me. But all in all, Sansom came across as a decent guy. I felt he would try to do the right thing, as much as any of them can. I felt he was in it for all the right reasons. There were photographs in the middle of the book. All except one were bland snapshots tracing Sansom's life from the age of 3 months to the present day. They were the kind of things that I imagine most guys could dig out of a shoebox in the back of a closet. Parents, childhood, school days, his service years, his bride-to-be, their kids, business portraits, normal stuff. Probably interchangeable with the pictures in all the other candidate biographies. But the photograph that was different was bizarre. Chapter 17. The photograph that was different was a news picture I had seen before. It was of an American politician called Donald Rumsfeld in Baghdad, shaking hands with Saddam Hussein, the Iraqi dictator, back in 1983. Donald Rumsfeld had twice been Secretary of Defense, but at the time of the picture had been a special presidential envoy for Ronald Reagan. He had gone to Baghdad to kiss Saddam's ass and pat him on the back and give him a pair of solid gold spurs as a gift and a symbol of America's everlasting gratitude. 8 years later, we had been kicking Saddam's ass, not kissing it. 16 years after that, we killed him. Sansom had captioned the picture, "Sometimes our friends become our enemies, and sometimes our enemies become our friends." Political commentary, I supposed. Or a business homily, although I could find no mention of the actual episode in the text itself. I turned back to his service career and prepared to read about it carefully. That was my area of expertise, after all. Sansom joined the Army in 1975 and left in 1992. A 17-year window, 4 years longer than mine, by virtue of starting 9 years earlier and quitting 5 years earlier. A good era, basically, compared to most. The Vietnam paroxysm was over, and the new professional all-volunteer army was well-established and still well-funded. It looked like Sansom had enjoyed it. His narrative was coherent. He described basic training accurately, described officer candidate school well, was entertaining about his early infantry service. He was open about being ambitious. He picked up every qualification available to him and moved to the Rangers and then the nascent Delta Force. As usual, he dramatized Delta's induction process, the hell weeks, the attrition, the endurance, the exhaustion. As usual, he didn't criticize its incompleteness. Delta is full of guys who can stay awake for a week and walk 100 miles and shoot the balls off a tsetse fly. But it's relatively empty of guys who can do all that and then tell you the difference between a Shiite and a trip to the latrine. But overall, I felt Sansom was pretty honest. Truth is, most Delta missions are aborted before they even start, and most that do start fail. Some guys never see action. Sansom didn't dress it up. He was straightforward about the patchy excitement and frank about the failures. Above all, he didn't mention goat herds. Not even once. Most Special Forces after-action reports blame mission failures on itinerant goat tenders. Guys are infiltrated into what they claim are inhospitable and virtually uninhabited regions and are immediately discovered by local peasants with large herds of goats. Statistically, unlikely. Nutritionally unlikely, given the barren terrain, goats have to eat something. Maybe it was true one time, but since then it has become a code. Much more palliative to say, We were hunkered down, and a goat herd stumbled over us then to say, "We screwed up." But Sansom never mentioned either the ruminant animals or their attendant agricultural personnel, which was a big point in his favor. In fact, he didn't mention much of anything. Certainly not a whole lot in the success column. There was what must have been fairly routine stuff in West Africa, plus Panama, plus some scud hunting in Iraq during the first Gulf War in 1991. Apart from that, nothing. Just a lot of training and standing by, which was always followed by standing down, and then more training. His was maybe the first unexaggerated Special Forces memoir that I had ever seen. More than that, even. Not just unexaggerated, it was downplayed, minimized and de-emphasized, dressed down, not up, which was interesting. Chapter 18. I took a lot of care getting back to the coffee shop on 8th. Our principal brought a whole crew. And by now, they all knew roughly what I looked like. The Radio Shack guy had told me how pictures and video could be phoned through from one person to another. For my part, I had no idea what the opposition looked like. But if their principal had been forced to hire guys in nice suits as local camouflage, then his own crew probably looked somewhat different themselves. Otherwise, no point. I saw lots of different-looking people, maybe a couple hundred thousand. You always do in New York City. But none of them showed any interest in me. None of them stayed with me. Not that I made it easy. I took the 4 train to Grand Central, walked 2 circuits through the crowds, took the shuttle to Times Square, walked the long and illogical loop from there to 9th Avenue, and came on the diner from the west, straight past the 14th Precinct. Jacob Mark was already inside. He was in a back booth, cleaned up, airbrushed, wearing dark pants and a white shirt and a navy windbreaker. He could have had "off-duty cop" tattooed across his forehead. He looked unhappy, but not frightened. I slid in opposite him and sat sideways so I could watch the street through the windows. "Did you talk to Peter?" I asked him. He shook his head. "But?" "I think he's okay."
"You think or you know?"
He didn't answer because the waitress came by. The same woman from the morning. I was too hungry to be sensitive about whether or not Jake was going to eat. I ordered a big platter, tuna salad with eggs and a bunch of other stuff, plus coffee to drink. Jake followed my lead and got a grilled cheese sandwich and water. I said, "Tell me what happened."